Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Eat Food or Die. This is episode 6, Columbia County, Greene County. Everybody listening to the podcast, I hope you're having a wonderful summer. I know I am. The produce is a booming. Everything's 3 weeks early, and the fish are jumping, and I'm just having fun. Hope you guys are enjoying it alongside with me here. This podcast, I went over to Comahan's Farms in Clarvick, and I dragged Dan and Tess into the studio. They're going to come by and talk. We're also going to do something pretty interesting I've never done on this show, but what the hell? I'm going to do a recipe. I'm going to teach y'all Yankees how to cook some Southern food, so we're going to get in it. All right, Hank the Third, Devil's Daughter, let's do it. Welcome back to Eat Food or Die with Tess Parker and Dan McManus from Comahan's Farm in Clarvick, New York. How are you guys?
Good. Glad to be here. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. And let's start off right off the bat. Where are you guys from originally?
Well, this guy, I'm from New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
So I'm not really a Columbia County native. But I moved here about a year ago, started farming.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dan, you're from?
I'm from right here.
Are you really? Right yeah. on. Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
I'm from Philmont, Chatham, Hudson throughout the years.
Okay. And how did you guys get into farming?
Well, we each have slightly separate stories.
Yeah.
I got into farming about 3 years ago out at Pleroma Farm, just outside of Hudson, where I started a vegetable garden and I started doing farmers markets. And then I moved on the following year to start my own farm, and that's when I met Tess, and that's when she came into my life to come and help me with this farm. And then I pulled her into the huge leadership role with me as we got to know each other. And so I got into it a little bit myself through growing food out in Detroit, actually, doing urban gardening out there.
Oh, very cool.
And that's where I really sort of realized the importance of food in places where people don't have it. And then I came to, you know, back to the Hudson Valley, which is
the exact
kind of the opposite,
right?
Where like it's like a mecca of
farms.
Yeah, it could be more different than heaven and hell.
But, you know, I feel like it's an amazing place to develop a lot of technique and to really build on that farm scene. And then take it wherever I choose to take it in life, you know.
Yeah. When you were young, did you have any family members? Did you walk farms with somebody or something? Was there early, you know?
I was a troubled kid, you know. So I was sent out of a lot of schools, and I was often sent off to go and work with the local farmers. And actually, that was the last thing I ever wanted to do, was eventually be a farmer. That was sort of what would happen if I messed up at life or something like that.
And right.
Then over time, I really, you know, through eating, really, I actually gained a lot of meaning for me. And, you know, the way I eat and what you can, you know, really do with your diet.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what a chef wants to hear. Yeah. But Tess, how about you?
I don't have as much of a history, actually. It was kind of this total transition in my life. I came out of school. I was writing all the time. I was creative writing. I really was doing a lot of poetry, and it just didn't feel like I needed something to kind of ground myself. I was like kind of like up in the clouds.
Right.
And I lived in communities where like groups of my friends lived together. We had farm together. So I kind of got into it through my friends and watching them take on leadership roles and watching them take care of the earth and how it just became their whole daily rhythm. And I just really admired that. And I just felt that I needed to go in that direction, and I had no idea where it would lead me. And here I am now. So
it's weird how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anybody listening in Columbia County or Greene County or on the podcast, if you have been by Common Hands Farm stand, their produce is absolutely delicious. And it's, I don't know. You can, when you look at certain things, art, food, a car, anything, you can tell if there was passion and if there was hard work behind it. And just the way you guys, I can tell you guys really into it. So to hear that you guys just kind of fell into this farming, you know, I would have sworn, you know, I bet my left ear, you're like, well, my great-great-granddaddy was a farmer. But no, you guys just kind of did it. And working with many farmers as I do, and this is no offense to you, you're young.
Yeah.
And do you find sometimes that, is like, is it hip to be a young farmer now, or do you think it's hard to get street cred?
it's totally hip.
But, okay.
but
that's not why
it doesn't
it.
Just come with, it's not glamorous at all. It's
oh, no. I'm saying, like, you know, like when you're talking to other farmers or chefs, is there.
I mean, there's a lot of skepticism when you start out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what becomes so hip about it, is once you really start to succeed, you're sort of like, yeah, in your face. You know?
Okay.
But at the same time, no, it's there's like the amount of support from all the other older farmers has just been overwhelming, like over the years, to be given the opportunities to learn. I think that's what's so unique about this area, to be like, you know, surrounded by, you know, like not only amazing farmers everywhere, but, you know, people all around you, like Farmscape Ecology Program in Hawthorne Valley, or Greenhorns, or even new types of businesses that are buying vegetables and distributing them to people. And there's just the ways that we've learned everything from marketing and sales and, you know, what to grow and how to grow it have just come from such an open source network of learning that we really want to build upon at Common Hands. for young people.
Well, you know, that's it's good to hear, and I know as listeners, it's probably good to hear that in this area, it is an up and coming, you know, food destination, and with that comes farmers. So it's like young chefs are here, young farmers are here. So if you're buying stock, you buy now. You see, I mean, this is just it's great, and it's cool to be a part of, really.
Yeah.
And so, Tessa, I want you to tell me. When you got to wake up, what's your day at Common Hands Farms? Open or close, what's a day on the farm?
Well, let's see. We wake up, if it's hot, really early, try to get out there around 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a morning session. We try to, it depends on the season, really. There's a lot, like right now, we're doing a lot of weeding, but there's sometimes. Like in the early spring, we're doing tons of planting, and but I guess a typical day right now is fulfilling orders. So like I'll get on my email, check what we have. I'll go out and send all the orders out, send my workers, and get 6 bunches of that, get 10 pounds of that.
Right.
And then let's see. Then we probably weed a couple long rows of Italian dandelion
that's a tough
see.
One to weed too. Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, I was kind of laughing the other day because I'm like, we're weeding what most people think is a weed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's like a riddle.
We cultivate a lot of weeds, like golden purslane. That's a weed.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then the evening sessions are really nice. It's like really beautiful out there right now.
She forgot to mention we sleep in the middle of the day.
We sleep in the middle of the day.
Oh, you guys go home.
I just come back from my nap.
This isn't totally a chronological day. I'm sorry, everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then we go to sleep, and my alarm clock usually doesn't go off, so I'm groggy.
So I have to wake her up and tell her to go right to work now. Girl's waiting.
Yeah, the day is pretty much like sleep, work, take a nap, work, sleep.
We wake up when the sun gets up, and we go. We stop work when the sun goes down. So with that. We need that sleep in the middle of the day, especially this time of year.
You're right. I get you.
Yeah,
it's full on right now.
Is that like, I don't know, am I being a city slicker here? Do a lot of farmers do that, or is that just y'all?
Well, I don't.
I think some people work like 7 to 5 or like 7 to 4 or something, like work through. But we're kind of
European.
Yeah. We're like siesta.
Yeah, that's good. That's cool.
It works really well, too. It keeps group morale up to have, like, the middle of the day. And, you know, also it's really important for everyone to have free time during business hours to go and do other business you got to do. Go to the bank, for example.
You mean have a life?
Have a life. Yeah, or, you know, go to the bank. You know, be one of those cool kids on Warren Street or something.
Right.
And make an appearance.
I like it. Well, you know, that's cool. And, you know, we're joking about it, but that makes a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
You know, when your employees are happy.
Yeah.
It goes all the way
to
your
produce. We
wish
we could give them more time off. I mean, we're starting to kind of like get on top of what we have to do, and we're like starting to get more time off. But
cool.
Yeah. We're very grateful, though, for the way that our team has stepped up to the plate this year. There's, 6 days a week, like dawn to dusk, and like, you know, hardly anybody has like had a problem with it, which is, you know, it's just been amazing. Like, just to see everyone put in the extra time, and like, I just know what it takes to like everyone. I feel like everyone on the team is aware of what it takes to really achieve it. And
we set the bar pretty high.
Yeah, we do.
How many years have you guys been going here?
Well, this is our first year on a new piece of land. So we just started building on the farm right outside of Hudson.
Okay.
And then last year we were sort of in limbo a little bit. We had a piece of land. We had a couple pieces of land that we grew on. Nothing permanent, kind of looking for the right situation. And then one evening in the Spotted Dog, I just happened to be having a conversation with a friend, and he was like, I know a guy who has some land and is looking for farmers. And the next day, rather than us, like, you know, sort of being like, please, can we farm on your land? Like, this guy calls us up and he's like, let's get together and talk about building a farm. And, you know, and let's all kind of think out together what it takes and achieve that. And that was just really great to, like, to have, you know, the owner of our land, Moak, just really kind of think on our page, and it really helped us, you know, think on his page as a landowner. And so
that's cool, man. You know, that's just that you had the guts to do it, number one. A lot of people will, you know, probably be like, I'm going to go work in Napa Valley for, you know, a long time and just never go on my own. But you guys did it, and I tip my hat off to you. Okay, everybody, we're going to chill out and listen to a little Gordon Lightfoot with Sundown. We'll be right back.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs, sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Looking like a queen in a sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs, sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning when I'm losing again.
One thing that I've noticed about Common Hands is you guys grow some pretty unique produce.
Yeah.
Compared, you're not doing the safeties, the red leaf lettuce, you know, the green leaf, the sweet. I mean, you probably are. Yeah. You are. But I'm saying for pound compared to other farmers, it's the same as chefs. You have to do something that gives you your own identity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. I think that definitely. You guys have done some pretty cool stuff. And I'm going to mention one of them, mm-hmm. and it's the spicy radish beans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those things were killer, man. I walked by the stand. I had one, and I looked at Dan. I said, I want them all. I split them with Crimson Sparrow, and they cool. Yeah, we were all geeking up about it. Sweet. I mean, we all did different things with them.
Nice. Cool.
The original name, by the way, is Rat's Tails Radish. Yes. So that doesn't go so well on a special.
No, I don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Not a selling point.
But what else do you think, and how do you plan what you're going to grow? Like, you, for me, a fish guy will call me and goes, hey, Hugh, I got this Nug King Salmon.
Mm. Right.
All right, cool. So I get the salmon. Then I'll wander by, you know, a couple farms. But what, you guys are the farm, so I wander by you. Who do you wander by?
Yeah.
Well.
The winter.
Wintertime, we got a lot of thinking, a lot of research. So, you know, it's amazing what a bit of internet research can do. And then also, that's one other thing that's great about our landowner too, is he researches stuff too, and he's like, can you grow this for Asian markets and down in the city? And we're like, yeah, sure, you know, let's try that. And so we're all really, you know, we've all been really into sort of pushing something that's a little different. And, you know, so I go on, you know, sites, you know, or go to websites of seed places that I know grow a lot of really cool stuff, like Baker's Creek. Yeah, it's an heirloom seed company that and that's where we sort of discovered a lot of vegetables that we'd never heard of before. And you know, just sort of, it's even the major seed companies, just if you look in their specialty sections, there's just so much interesting stuff. And everything's experimental. I mean,
yeah, it's a risk.
Some things you have to time within a couple of days. Like, for example, the spicy beans, like, we learned that you have to time it within, like, a certain week window of harvest, and then they're done. So
they go like okra to wood, right?
Right. Yeah. We didn't get as much out of it as we could have.
But you know, I'm saving all the seed from it. So because it's an heirloom seed, I'm hopefully going to actually start really producing that as a regular crop. So things like that, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it also makes it for, you know, you're testing yourself. You're pushing yourself as a farmer to grow things that no one's grown before.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We've never eaten it,
so is it going to be good? Right, Are they going to like it? Well, like,
and you know what? You wonder about who was the first person to eat a sea urchin, you know? I mean, you gotta constantly explore food. Yeah. You know, you're never going to go anywhere.
I mean, luckily, being outside of Hudson is such a blessing. I just feel like there's so many chefs that are open to experimenting and
like yourself.
Exactly.
Spicy beans. You are actually the first chef who bought the spicy beans.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple people did. People at the markets really loved them as well.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, it's really awesome to you know, feel like we're giving this to people like yourself who are actually taking it and then continuing that art that we've, you know, we put into growing
seeing the products that come from it, like if chefs are taking photos or whatever, it just like makes me so happy to see.
Isn't that cool?
The product. Yeah. It's like, wow.
I bet it is.
This is what this is going to.
Hey Tess, how many people does it take to run Common Hands Farms?
Well, let's see. Well, Dan and I manage everyone. And then we kind of have three season long workers who we kind of like, they're our right hand people. Like,
they jump on spring to fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they each kind of have different tasks, either sales and deliveries or irrigation managing or harvest manager. We just kind of like set them up with specialized tasks, even though everyone kind of has an idea of the whole. And then at any given time, we have 2 to 4 volunteers who come on the Woof web network.
I'm not familiar with it.
It's WWOOF, Woof. And it starts for
Worldwide Organic Opportunities on Organic Farms, right?
Yeah. And so it's kind of like LinkedIn or like Facebook for farm volunteer work trades. So farmers post their profiles, and then people who are seeking farm experience
will
email and set up a work trade.
And you can get moved somewhere and you live and eat for free.
Yeah.
But you get to work. You could, like, if I want to say, hey, you know, I want to go work in New Mexico this summer.
Yeah, so you can go.
I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah, that's so cool, man.
Yeah.
You can travel and you get to work while you're traveling and deal and meet people. And
yeah, we definitely, cool. we did that in the winter. We went to Texas and did that.
Oh.
And it was helpful for us to kind of like keep practicing and like learning new things about gardening in a different setting and
how other people
other
run their
aspects
systems.
Of farms. We went to a duck farm. We never had ducks. There's 400 ducks there. Now we keep ducks.
Yeah.
So we just learn a little bit everywhere we go. So yeah, that's kind
smart.
Of,
Yeah. That's actually very smart you guys do that. And what do you think about the whole, what do you think about Texas, by the way?
Oh, it was intense.
My mother's from Texas.
Really, it was an interesting place, but
we don't trust them in the South because they don't drink sweet tea. So we don't call them Southern.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Where are you from?
Carolina, Georgia. Oh, yeah. I claim Carolina mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what advice would you give to, let's say, Dan 3 years ago and Tess 3 years ago? What advice would you give to y'all? To a young farmer coming into Columbia County right now.
Don't be shy. Stop on by. You know, that's like the thing that I had to learn myself coming out of construction business was like, you know, I came out of a mentality of everyone else is competition, you know, and no one wants to share their secrets. And that was absolutely not like that because everyone else is kind of like, it's competition, but you're like, yeah, you know, you almost feel bad for someone who's doing the same thing as you. Like, oh man, you worked really hard for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it's like better than mine, like congratulations.
Right.
Like,
I hear you. Know, like, I hear
yeah.
you.
So it's really, it's just so supportive, on, you know, in every way. And, you know, other farmers have really kind of moved aside to give us, you know, the space and, you know, give us, you know, a lot of opportunities as well.
Right.
Advice.
That's cool, man. You know, like something I talked to on this show about, and I never really knew, is that because in North Carolina, the farmer's market is like literally, man, like a, looks like the, oh, I can't even describe it. It's this huge outdoor pavilion and the people just kind of set up shop. But around here, these little small ones where you actually go out to these farms, that's not all their produce. They use other farms. Mm. They shake hands. So, you know, you'll give 10 bags of sweet corn for six cases of apples. I never knew that.
Oh,
so
it's all barter.
Yeah. A lot of these guys are bartering and that's, you know, that's supporting each other, you know,
definitely.
And that's cool. So
we like to barter at markets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat. I never knew that. And I don't know anyone listening ever knew that, but it's real and it's cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of camaraderie at markets. There's a lot of like, oh, here, like take this, like at the end of the market, like grab that.
Well, I'm digging it, and I'm glad you came by. Let's tell everybody where we can find you.
We're on 23B. So if you're going out of town, you're going to go over the Claverack Creek, and we are on the right. And if you've hit Red Apple Realty, it's just a property too far. So our driveway is on the right. It's a big driveway. We just got a new one.
All right. Congratulations.
Don't have a sign
it's very
yet.
Expensive.
I need to get a sign.
No sign.
There will
it's
be a sign
so
soon,
silly.
Though. There will be a sign soon.
certain details.
Well, just right before
just
Red
only,
Apple.
It's the only big, you know, the only big vegetable field you can really see as you're driving out of town. It's
you'll
behind all the old billboards that are there.
Okay.
We have some ground cherries growing by the entrance.
All right. Well, you know, people will find you, but you're also on Warren Street.
That's right.
Saturdays.
At 3:47.
We're also at... at Chatham Farmers Market, Philmont Farmers Market, and also at the Red Barn on Route 9H on Fridays, right before Love Apple Farm, Red Barn Restaurant, if you're driving north on 9H.
Which people should know, Red Barn, it's pretty...
Yeah,
it's a good place. That's
cool.
It's
a great market there now.
Yeah, it's hip, man. It's
got some good burgers.
Well, so for all you listeners that thought farming was just like putting a thing on the back of a donkey and walking around, it's not. It's hard work and it takes a lot of unique thinking and creativity to it, and I tip my hat to y'all and thank you again for coming. We're gonna go to some music. Italy has cheese, France has truffle, America has Tom Petty.
Town. Yeah, the world time. It's good to be king and have your own way. Get a feeling of peace at the end of the day. When your bulldog barks and your canary sings, you're out there with wings. It's good to be king. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls, a sweet little queen who can't run away. It's good to be king, whatever it pays. Excuse me if I have some place in my mind where I go time to time.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you like that song. I love Tom Petty, man. He's cool as a fan. You know, it's just so mellow. And a lot of people, you know, hate on him because of all his radio play. But let me tell you guys something. If it wasn't for Mr. Tom Petty, a lot of the music wouldn't sound the way it does now. He was a pioneer. You know, he was playing, you know, bars in Gainesville, Florida, you know, just an old college town, and never, you know, changed up what he was doing. And then, boom, success. And, you know, not sellout or anything like that. He's just a great musician, and I love him. sorry, that was my Tom Petty rant. Thank you for listening. Okay, we're going to try something different that we've never done before on this show. And I'm going to give you guys a recipe. Actually, I'm going to give you two recipes. One of them is Gumbo Ya Ya. And it's the reason I chose Gumbo Ya Ya, because it was my favorite growing up. And that's all what comfort food's all about. You know, when you eat something, you remember, you know, your grandma, you know, in the kitchen, and I remember just looking over the bayou and everything. And it was my favorite because she would, you know, freshly kill the chickens. And it was, as a young boy, you think there's nothing cooler in the world than that, that your grandma actually can, you know, murder an animal. So at that point, I thought my grandma was, you know, of course, the coolest person in the world. So, okay, gumbo ya-ya is one recipe, and the second recipe is going to be Southern Comfort barbecue sauce. It's a really great barbecue sauce. It goes well with everything off the grill. Let me start doing that. So get your pencil and paper ready, and we're going to do the Southern Comfort barbecue sauce first. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list ingredients. You can write it down, and then we'll go over the preparation. So sorry if I sound like a robot for the next couple, minutes here, but it's just what we're going to have to do, because I want you guys to try to cook this stuff, and have fun with it. Okay, here we go. You're going to need to get 1/4 pound of good bacon. Not any, you don't have to use the most expensive Applewood smokes bacon there is, but don't use a cheapo one. It's, this barbecue sauce is going to get enhanced by this. So, okay, 1/4 pound of diced bacon, 1/2 cup of a diced Vidalia onion or sweet onion, 2 14-ounce jars of ketchup, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 5 teaspoons of Southern Comfort, a.k.a. SoCo, 1/4 cup of apple cider vinegar, 1/8 cup of Worcestershire sauce. Can you believe I got that off, huh? Y'all wanted me to mess that up. 2 tablespoons of yellow mustard, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, salt, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and, of course, 2 bay leaves. So this is how you're going to start doing this bad boy. You're going to saute the bacon in a pan. When it gets crisp, constantly keep stirring that with a wooden spoon. You want it to render, but you don't want it to burn. So, you can do it, start it in a hot pan. Don't put it in there cold. Excuse me. Saute the bacon until it's pretty crisp. And then you're going to add your onions. And you want the onions to cook out too. You want them to sweat, but not all the way, because you want a little bit of crunch once you puree this. And then you're going to add everything else I listed, the ketchup, the sugar, the vinegar, the Worcestershire, everything else except, mind you, Southern Comfort. So let's rewind a little bit. Your bacon's cooking, your onions are in, then you add all your ingredients except your SoCo and let it cook for about 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, remove it and then add the Southern Comfort and puree it in a blender. If you have a blender at home, if you don't have a blender, don't worry about it. It's not the end of the world if you don't have to puree this thing. It's cool because the sweetness from the SoCo and like the mustard and, the bacon, it's just great. It's great. It's great on ribs if you cook ribs at home. You're going to be a big fan of this barbecue sauce. Give it a shot. Let me know what you think. I like it, and that's why I chose to share it with you. All right, let me go to a song so you guys don't have to sit here and listen to me ramble. I'm going to play the Violent Femmes. Anyone that is into music knows the Violent Femmes are absolutely incredible. That's number one. Number two, they absolutely despise each other, apparently, and refuse to record together anymore. But I think something happened. Like, one of the guys sold the rights to a Wendy's commercial. I mean, I don't know. I'm gossiping like a little schoolgirl, but I think that's what someone I read or someone told me. But they got together, despite their differences, to record, to cover and record Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. And you guys know that song. Don't lie and act like you don't, because you do. It's a catchy little song by Gnarls Barkley called Crazy. But Violent Femmes takes this thing and just runs away with it, dude.
My mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. That make me crazy. Does that make me crazy? think you are. Bless your soul. You really think you're in control. Well, I think you're crazy. To lose their lives out on a limb. And all I remember is thinking, I wanna be like them. I wanna be like them. Ever since I was little, it looked like fun. It's no coincidence I've come.
Y'all are saying right now, that song was incredible. I'm not gonna lie to you, old Uncle Hugh ain't gonna lie. I'm only gonna play the good stuff. All right, get your pencils back out, y'all. What's slacking off? We're talking recipes here, southern food. All right, this next one's gumbo ya-ya. The story behind the whole ya-ya thing is, I believe it goes back to West Africa and description of chicken. So gumbo, like, how would you compare it up north? It is how they judge you, is your gumbo. I mean, it's how your family is judged. If you make bad gumbo, you will have your Southern card removed from your wallet, and you will be erased and blacklisted. It's serious. It's like, you know, how you judge someone, you know, okay, how's this? An Italian restaurant with their marinara. Same thing. Same exact thing. Grandma taught you how to do it. Her grandma taught her how to do it. You know, no corners cut at all, okay, with gumbo. So let's get your pencils out, and we're going to do gumbo ya-ya. The first thing you're going to need is go get a whole chicken. Get a big one. I like to eat. Get a 4-pounder, you know. If not, 3, even 2.5 will work. But if you're like me and you like to eat, get a 4-pound chicken. Now break the chicken down, bone in. If you don't know how to break a chicken down, if you go to like Price Chopper or the poultry area, they will have whole chickens already broken down and packaged. So, you know, grab it. It's the more work you have to do, the cheaper food's going to be. So a whole 4-pound chicken will be a little cheaper than a broken down one. But if you don't know how to, you know, break down chicken, don't hurt yourself. So, all right, rewind. One whole chicken cut up. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of a Creole seasoning. You need about, 2.5 cups of flour. You need some vegetable oil, about a cup. You're going to need 2 cups of Vidalia onions. You want them chopped pretty well, a pretty good dice. And you want also 1.5 cups of celery chopped the same way. And 2 cups of green peppers. And 1 cup of red peppers. You want those all cut. So you want the onions, the celery, and the peppers to be uniform. Uniform, we say in kitchen, meaning looks the same. That is the Holy Trinity. If you've eaten in my restaurant, you say, what the hell is that? And you just don't have the guts to ask what the Holy Trinity is. That's what it is. It's in everything in Louisiana, South Louisiana cooking. Everything. So you're going to have the Trinity. You want to get about 6 or 7 cups of chicken stock. You want to have about 1.5 teaspoons of fresh garlic. You want to mince that. And you need some andouille sausage. You want to dice that also. Get a pound of andouille. If you don't know what andouille is, it's just really a spicy smoked sausage. You don't have, if you can't find it or don't know anything about it and it freaks you out, don't worry about it. Just get, you know, kielbasa or Italian sausage. Anything will work, but I prefer andouille because of the spice. All right, so let's start cooking this bad boy. You're going to make a roux. A roux is, you're going to put butter, about a quarter of a pound in the pot, in a large skillet. If you have a Dutch oven, great. If you have just a pot, it will work also, but you want to make this roux, and you want to whisk it in with, you want to whisk the flour in with the butter as the butter is cooking until it turns to a dark brown color. This is a binding agent roux. You don't want to burn it, so don't walk away from it. Constantly stir this flour into the butter, and it will you don't want it to get clumpy either. So if it starts to clump on you, you know you can add a little more butter. Don't be too hard on yourself on roux. The main thing you want about roux is it to be dark, a dark brown, and there's no clumps. So, in another pan next to that, brown your chicken. So, get your chicken that you cut up, okay? Coat it in flour with the Creole seasoning. And one way to coat chicken is if you put it in a plastic bag, like a Ziploc bag, with the flour, and just shake it all up. Take it out and brown that chicken in the pan. So in your Dutch oven, you have the roux made. In the other pan, you just brown the chicken. After you make this roux, add in your Holy Trinity. That is, as you guys, we already discussed, that is your onions, celery, and peppers. And stir in those vegetables until they're sweated out and they're enough of liquid is gone. You don't want them cooked all the way, but you don't want them, you know, completely raw. All right, now this is when you add your chicken stock. Bring it to a boil. Once it boils, turn it down to a simmer. Add the garlic, the sausage, the brown chicken. Cover this sucker and cook it for about 2 hours on low heat. This is, see how simple this is? People, you know, this is just easy, man. And all these peppers are fresh right now. You can get all the produce for this thing. You can even add in okra. Don't be scared of okra. Okra's great. All you have to do is let it sit in vinegar for an hour before you cook it. And it'll lose that slime. But let's not go overboard here. Let's just keep one thing at a time. So add your, simmer it down for 2 hours and then just serve it over rice. Gumbo, yeah, yeah. Boom. That was easy, right? I like doing these recipes. I think a lot of people think sometimes it's hard and it's complicated to cook at home. And we got to move away from that. We got to start cooking more as Americans. And start using these farms, involving them. Not just, you know, the produce. I mean, the chicken farms, the beef in the area. And I think you'll be pleased. I think your family will be pleased. I think you'll be happy that you accomplished a dish you never made before. And this is one of my personal favorites. This good old chicken and sausage gumbo. Gumbo, yeah, yeah. I hope you'd enjoyed it. Hey, listen, I had fun. Thanks for listening to me. I know an hour show is a long commitment, and I try to mix it up and play a little music to keep you guys grooving, and I hope you dig what I'm choosing, because I sure the heck am. And listen, next month we're going over to the Berkshires. I'm going to go out there with my brother from another mother, co-host Sean Elliott. He's a chef out in the Berkshires, and we're going to go wander around the mountains and talk to our cousins out there, you know? There's a lot of farming, a lot of chefs in the Berkshires that are really, really talented, and let's go meet them. So, until then, I want everyone to, you know, thank Sarah Kendall, the producers of the show. Never would sound the way it does if she didn't. And thank you, Sarah, so much. And hey, everybody, I had fun. And let's continue to do it. Okay, take care now. We're going to play a little bit of hip-hop. DJ Premier, going to bust it out with Nas, Rakim, and KRS-One. Classic. Enjoy it. Talk to y'all next month from the Berkshires. And I love y'all, and one love.
Number, I'd like to return to the classic.
Time. classic. I'm better than I ever been.
I rock him, the fiend of a mic.
Yeah, it's y'all ready for 2007. It's now another drought. Everybody's a killer. Wow, we bugging out. Just 86 showing the crowd what I'm about. And they still want to know when the album coming out. Ask the teenagers, OGs, and ask the kids what their definition of classic is.
Timeless, so age don't count in the booth. When your flow stays submerged in the fountain of youth.
Ain't no doubt in the truth, I'm off the meters. Everybody co-sign it, even non-believers. Since I came in the door, became one of y'all's leaders. In a fresh pair of Air Force One sneakers. Uptowns, we call them uppies when they on Divas. Probably one with KRS-One teachers. Nas made you look before the heaters. I bet you Khan had them on when he walked with Jesus. These are classic.
Live straight classic, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Times, times. I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Time.
On the foot down, represent to the fullest. Nas, I rock well.
Perseverance. See the fake hustler rapper, to them it hurts to hear this. Oh, you went platinum, yeah, that's nice. Now let me see you do the same thing twice. Three times, four times, then a couple of more times. Please, you're amateur night, it's showtime. It's one life to live, so live it the best you can. The world could use one less man. Not enough air, not enough car factories to manufacture new vehicles, sedans, and vans. When they do make the whip, you like your chips ain't right. By the time you could afford it, the car ain't important. In the streets I'm in, it's just iron. Cops keep firing in my environment. Leaving your slump, then they drive home. Far from the hood, brothers, they eager to jump on. I like to be the wall that they toast up on. I like to see them fall, guilty for doing wrong. I'm classic like the Air Ones, the hustler shoe. That's what I'm accustomed to, yeah.
Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Times, times, times. I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Times, times.
Of course, we have Blastmaster KRS-One. How many y'all got criminal minded? You, y'all, don't be blinded. Me, I got no jewels on my neck. Why? I don't need them. I got your respect. KRS-One, 20 years I rock. I do it for JMJ and Scott LaRock. This hip-hop, and we's a nation. Don't you want to hear more KRS on your radio station? Instead of broadcasting how we smoke them tears. On the radio, we need to hear more local MCs. Where you at? Come on, where you at? This is the difference between MC and the rap. Rappers spit rhymes that are mostly illegal. MCs spit rhymes to uplift they people. Peace, love, unity, having fun. These are the lyrics of KRS-One.
Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Times, times, times. I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
Classic. Force runs through the top. Classic. Classic.
This song's for Ruby. Daddy loves you, little critter. Wood Brothers, Shoe Fly Pie.
I'm gonna give you the wheel. I'm gonna let you drive. But you gotta make me. And you gotta make me a shoe fly pie. Well, don't forget the sweet molasses. I won't leave a crumb. Don't you just sit there laughing when you know how bad I need some. You know how bad I need some of that shoe fly pie. Morning, I like it if it's hot or cold. Make it for me in the evening, baby, when the sun is gone. You can make it in the evening when the sun is gone. You can make it if the house smells late. Now you give it to me right on time. Well, I like it in the kitchen and the living room driveway. I don't mind if the house on fire. I don't care if the house on fire. Give me that shoe fly pie. biscuits and wine, but I always have a room for that shooting fly. I had the best, and I seen the light coming through your dress. And all my friends, they understand why I would kick and cry, wouldn't mind dying for just another piece of that heavenly beautiful. Shoot, fly, by, shoot, fly, by, shoot, fly, by, just a little bit of shoot, fly, by, shoot, fly, by, what another piece of shoot, fly, by, shoot, fly, by, shoot, fly. But I